Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 102.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. As we do every week, we're going to kick off with one of the lovely reviews our listeners have left for us on iTunes. Today's review comes from Topaz81, and I realized I haven't kept a list of any of the ones I've already said, so apologies if I have been repeating them or if I've missed yours. We actually have quite a lot of reviews now, which is so lovely. We definitely always need more though. But yeah, I just went through and I was just kind of like, have I read this one before? I'm sorry if I have.
Like this one.
Yeah. So this Topaz81 says, never a dull moment with these two. Awesome pair of personalities, great range of topics, information, and hilarious. Love it.
Informative and hilarious.
What did I say?
Information. That's okay. It's been a day. It's been a day, guys.
Oh, God. I'm so good at words, Kelly. That's why I'm a writer.
Anyway.
And a podcaster.
And we so appreciate you taking the time, Topaz81. And just as a random aside, everyone has really random names on iTunes. Why is that?
I totally agree. It's really, yeah, it's quite odd.
Like no one has their own name. I'm not even my own name on iTunes. I'm like Swish Design or something. Yeah. But I'm Kelly Exeter everywhere else.
To me, everyone's iTunes name sounds like the first email address they ever had.
Yeah.
When you just like find a random mashup of words and then slap 83 on the end of it, like, or, you know, 26 or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. Anyway, speaking of random things, the next how's that for a segue? Our next segment is Carly's random thing of the week. And just, you know, so people, you know, if anyone's tuning in for the first time in a while, the reason we have this segment now is because I have the most normal, non-random life, and I live totally vicariously through Carly and the odd things she seems to come across on a regular basis. So I always get a laugh out of them, and I also love putting huge pressure on Carly to come up with a new random thing every week because she thrives on pressure. So, Carl's, with that kind of intro.
Last week's random thing was celebrity-based, and this one is celebrity-based as well. But this actually came as quite a shock to me. So this morning I discovered that Cher is going to tour around Australia. And I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but I'm a massive fan of Cher. I think she's an amazing, fabulous human. And I was devastated because we missed her by 1 year when we were in Vegas. Yeah. And I was devastated about it. And then I didn't really want to go to Mardi Gras like just to see Cher because there was like it was too complicated. And I didn't kind of want to go to just see her sing one song. I want to be fully immersed in the Cher experience. So I was really excited and put out on my Facebook this morning, who wants to come to Cher with me?
Where is she? Is she coming to Melbourne or to Sydney or something?
Yeah, Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane. I think she's only doing East Coast. Like you guys miss out a lot, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, no one comes here.
Yeah, I think she's only doing East Coast, but I was fully expecting to, you know, get a whole posse of people who want to go and adore Cher. Literally not a single person wants to go and see Cher. Not a single person. And I was just thinking, this is really odd. And so my random thing of the week is that I've discovered that no one likes Cher. And this is a travesty for a variety of reasons. Firstly, she's magnificent. Secondly, she's the only recording artist in history to have a number one hit in 5 consecutive decades.
Wow, that is
like
that is
the Beatles haven't even done that. Like Elton John hasn't done that. She's actually a musical genius, and I'm devastated that no one wants to go and see Cher with me in Melbourne. So I'm just going to go on my own.
Well,
I've decided.
Enough,
I was like,
I think you should too. I'm sure you'll find a Cher buddy. I you know me. I don't do celebrities or even care about music all that much. So I cannot sympathize, but I know you'll find a Cher buddy. I feel it in my bones.
Well, Ben offered to go with me and he was like, I'll go. And I went,
price.
And I went, really? And he went, yeah, ma. And I was like, I kind of thought that's where that conversation was going.
I think you'd be better off going by yourself. Like, you will find, like, you'll, because then you will be with people who get it and you won't have exactly. to be worrying about the person who's tagged along with you who doesn't really get it, but they feel sorry for you. Like, yeah, you just go by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the, you know, the tribute band that I go and see every Christmas, Cell Block 69 in Canberra, one of the, everyone in the band is called Corey, and one of the girl Corey's, it's very complicated. It sounds very daggy and strange, but one of the girl Corey's sang Turn Back Time one year and came out dressed fully like Cher, wearing like the stockings and the leotard with the big wig. I lost my shit. It's the most excited I think I've ever been. And that was just some random chick in a Canberra tribute band pretending to be Cher, and it was the greatest moment of my life. So I really need to get to that concert. But yeah, so that's my random thing for the week. Everyone hates Cher.
And that was a good one. So,
yeah.
Oh, poor shit. Poor Carly.
Oh, so the next segment is we're interrupting each other today. Our brains are not here, guys. Just so our next segment is the if you were our best friend, we'd tell you. And this one came from an anonymous source, and it's actually quite a goodie. I'm trying to come up with a J name on the spot. I can't. It's not happening. Jesus.
Janisha. I'm told you. Janisha. Janisha says.
So Janisha says.
I'm just making up broke J up names with- now.
I broke up with my boyfriend about 3 years ago and it was pretty brutal. I'm not proud of this, but I cheated on him and treated him really badly and I'm really feeling the need to apologize. Should I just let it go or should I send him a letter or an email saying how sorry I am? Kelly.
This is an interesting one because I think if I was the boyfriend, I'd get quite a bit of closure if Janisha reached out to me and admitted that she treated me quite badly. But I don't know if that's just because I am a person who really, I really, really need things to be tied off neatly. Like even if someone treats me poorly, I can take it if I know the why behind their behavior. And if I don't know the why behind their behavior, it will bug me literally for years. So, yeah, I would maybe the ex-boyfriend might get some closure. It also sounds like Janisha is feeling a bit of guilt and needs some closure for herself. So I kind of think it might be a bit of a win-win. But I do think it's important that if in reaching out – like in reaching out to him to apologize, you're not messing with him in any way. Like if there's any chance of messing with him and thinking, oh, we're going to get back together or something like that, yeah, don't do that. What about you, Carl?
Particularly if he's happy and in a new relationship. Like that's a hard thing to deal with. So I agree. I think this is a tough one, which is why I put it in because I was thinking we don't really do a lot of relationship-y stuff and this is an interesting one. I have been on the receiving end of a too late down the track apology. And to be honest, I found it really weird. So I dated a guy well before I was with Ben and we've been together for 12 years now. So this was way back in my youth. And yeah, he was a complete jerk, but you know, we were young and we were mates and it just kind of got buried until about 3 years into my relationship with Ben. And this other guy had this full on crisis and he kept calling it about, you know, what happened between us and kept wanting to talk about it. And I was like, no, dude, I'm so over that. Like we dated for a couple of months and it was pretty awful. And I'm with someone else. Like, this is horrible. And so it, like, I found it really odd. And I think the issue there was that he wanted to talk about it more for him rather than to apologize to me. So I think that Janisha, if what you want to do is apologize to him and not project any of your feelings about what happened on him, but simply to apologize for the way you treated him, do that. If you want a therapy session, he doesn't deserve that.
Yeah.
So don't turn it into therapy for you. If an apology is great, don't expect a response. Don't make it that you're expecting a response. Just put the apology out there and walk away. And yeah, don't turn it into an opportunity to soul search through him because I think you've hurt him enough.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yes, good one. On to our next segment, which is our recommendation of the week. I will go first because it's fresh in my mind. So my recommendation of the week is my Nespresso machine. with the I use environmentally sound capsules before anybody emails me.
Good girl. I was like, shit, Kelly, you just opened putting up a that whole out can there. Of worms.
I'm not prepared to deal with Nespresso pod backlash this week, guys. No.
So I love my Nespresso. I've just been in Sydney, so this is fresh in my mind, like where I was having to buy coffee all the time. And I obviously don't buy coffee as much, all that much, because I'm usually at home and I make my own coffee at home. And see, when I make coffee at home, it's, you know, it's essentially a long black, but with a bit of milk in it. And I kind of was watching someone make the coffee in Sydney and going, oh, wow. I mean, obviously, this is how they make it in Perth as well. I just don't usually watch people in Perth make my coffee. But yeah, I realize that it's, you know, a shot of coffee and then it's like topped up with all milk is how Australian cappuccinos and lattes yep. are made. And I was like, wow, that is a lot of milk. So I am grateful and I highly recommend having your own coffee machine or your own plunger or whatever at home so that you can make less milk intensive coffees that are still enjoyable to drink.
I completely agree. I also have an espresso machine. I've got an espresso machine as well, which I love. And I also use biodegradable pods as well. But I'm actually looking at getting, you can get little metal reusable ones where you can
I would totally
put your own
do
coffee
that.
In them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben's been researching it for a while. We're kind of waiting until they get a bit better. The reviews aren't great on them yet. I think they need to work on the technology a bit. And I think Nespresso are kind of, which I get, like because it's their machine and they're like, please use our pods. But yeah, they're a bit mean to people who try to cut out their own pods, which is fair enough.
Because, you know. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So my recommendation of the week is no grainer bread. So it's a low carb, no grain bread that's made of like seeds and nuts. I used to buy the protein bread from the protein company and that's mainly made of eggs, but they had to stop making the fresh stuff, which was really disappointing because I think it ended up going off quite quickly. So you can buy the packet mix, but you can't buy the fresh bread. And I don't want to make bread. I make so much shit. I make my own yogurt. I make my own kefir, make my own mayonnaise. I don't have time for bread. That's no. So it's really, really dense. So I only have one slice a day tops, but it's just the perfect afternoon snack to get me through until dinner. And it's also a local Melbourne company that makes it. So yeah, I really love it. And it's really good because I fast from 8 p.m. to midday. I only have two meals. So I have lunch and dinner, but between lunch and dinner, I just need a little something, something. So I just have a slice of the no-grainer toast with some like Promite on it or something. And it's really good.
Oh, that sounds yummy. It makes me wish I lived in Melbourne so I could get it. I'll have to see if we got anything like that in Perth. Okay.
Yeah, so, I don't know if they ship it.
Yeah. Ooh. Or whether they ship
it. Oh, sorry. No. Yeah, because sometimes they ship it, but I think that those kind of breads are really hard to pick fresh. But anyway, you go.
Okay, so today, the topic of the day, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic, is about starting a freelance career and how to transition from full-time work into that career. I'm kind of going to kick it off because this is quite fresh in my mind at the moment because I guess for all intents and purposes, I am starting a new freelance career now with kind of book stuff that I'm doing. And it's so interesting to contrast my experiences from when I started freelancing as a graphic designer, like, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago where, you know, I was like, I don't know, early 20s, had no profile and I was really, really literally, you know, starting from scratch to this current experience now where I do have a profile and as a result, things are happening a lot more quickly. So I guess maybe I'll talk about what's the same and what's different. And then, Carls, I know you have some great tips to share. Does that sound like a good way to go?
Yeah. That sounds great. Go for it.
Okay. So just some quick background. So for my professional career, like I am a graphic designer. I became a graphic designer, I don't know, in my early 20s. I worked for an agency for 4 years. And while I was working at that agency, you know, I was doing heaps of free stuff for friends and family just because like graphic design was my hobby as well as my job. I just loved doing it. So I, yeah, so, and then at some stage there, I went from, like, you know, just doing heaps of free stuff for friends and family to, like, my friends and family started referring me to people. And then suddenly I just found myself in this position where, like, real businesses were asking me to do stuff for them. So then, of course, I started getting some paid freelance work on the side of my full-time graphic design work. And it did get to a point where, you know, I was working every night and then working weekends, and it reached that, like, night, that little tipping point of, I need to make a decision. What do I do here? And actually what I did was I negotiated with my work to go 4 days a week so I could have just, like, one full day a week to work on my graphic design stuff. And then I don't really know, I can't remember, like, exactly what happened, but, like, I had literally just negotiated it. And I think I must have just, someone came along and just offered me a big job or something. And I kind of said to Aunt, you know what? I think I just need to go out totally. Like, I think I need to quit my job and do this graphic design thing full time. And he was kind of like, what?
Yeah. But that was, like, that was also a long time ago. Yeah. I think it's quite a bit easier now, I think, just because you can connect with people a bit
easier. Yeah, well, that's right. And this is before Facebook or, you know, any way of, yeah, you're doing it all off your own networks. So I made that transition probably more rapidly than I would recommend. And I think because the sheer volume of free stuff I was doing just all of a sudden turned into paid stuff. I think people just got so guilty about me doing stuff for free. Like, you know, the Triathlon Association and event management companies who were friends suddenly went, look, Kelly, we need to start paying you for this. And it kind of all happened at the same time. The interesting is, if you contrast it to now, to, you know, I'm 40. I wrote all my own books over the course of the last 6 years, and then people started asking me, you know, for advice when they were doing their own books. And I think I just saw the opportunity, and then I enjoyed giving that advice, and I enjoyed helping people tease out their book idea or whatever help they needed. I enjoyed doing it. And then I kind of realized, this could be a thing, because people are kind of coming to me. What's the thing? It's a starving crowd. Like, I think that's a key kind of thing when you're trying to decide whether you're going to go.
That's a great concept. I like that.
Yeah. Like, it's a little bit of a slide, but not really. Like, someone said to me the other day, like, that they were looking to, they have a big following and they were looking to start up a membership, because, like anyone who with a big following, you're like, how do I monetize these people who love me so that I can serve them on a full-time basis instead of having to do all this other stuff? And she was going to start a membership. And I kind of said to her, are people kind of screaming out for this membership? You know, are they, a lot of people asking you for it? And she was like, well, no one's asking me for it. And I'm like, well, then don't do it, because there's not a starving crowd there. And then she mentioned something else where people were asking her for all the time. I'm like, that's your starving crowd. Like, that's the thing that you need to do. So I guess,
yeah,
if you're in that mode of freelancing, are you getting a lot of people asking you to do this thing? But most importantly, are people willing to pay you to do it? Because that was the other thing with all my book stuff. Like, I started getting people asking me, how much does it cost for you to coach me through my book? How much does it cost for you to do a structure edit? And I was like, people are willing to pay money for this. This is a good sign. So I've just been able to fast track that new freelance business much more quickly than I did the graphic design thing, because it took a lot longer for people to kind of go, can we please give you money for this, because this is getting silly now. So, yeah. So that's just a bit of a rough background. What's the same and what's different between the two experiences? The same thing is, in both situations, I've had another form of income that pays my bills.
That's a really important one.
While I'm doing the thing. So while I was doing all this free stuff for graphic design, I was also working as a graphic designer and taking home a paycheck every week. With all my book coaching stuff, like, we have the graphic design business that pays the bills and gives me the time to do the experimentation that I've done over the last 18 months. Another thing that's the same is referrals are everything. And again, like, I did a good job for someone you know, for the people I was doing stuff for as a graphic designer, and then they told other people about me, and they told other people about me, and I reached a tipping point where all of a sudden I had a lot of new clients coming in who were willing to give me money. Ditto with the book coaching stuff. The people I'm doing a good job for are telling their friends who need the same service. And like, I haven't advertised or promoted it or gone on any podcast or done anything, and I am full up with work to the point where I need to quit my business, my graphic design business. And I'm,
which is awesome,
which is amazing. And I'm just in the process of extracting myself now, which brings me to the third thing that is the same between the two situations, and that is there is going to be a period where you are effectively working two jobs because you have not made the transition yet, and you just have to accept that it's not going to be, oh, I'm all full-time in this and now I neatly transition to this new thing. Like, that doesn't happen. There is going to be a crossover point where you're just working your ass off and working nights and working weekends because you haven't been able to make the jump yet, and you just have to kind of accept that. The things that are different between the two kind of scenarios for me is, like, back when I was a graphic designer, like, I did stuff for free for, like, anybody who wanted it. Anyone who was willing to give me their little job, I would do it for free. Being older and wiser, I'm now much smarter about who I do that kind of stuff for. I choose
definitely
it. I choose the people more carefully. I choose well-connected people who understand the value of what I'm providing and understand that, like, if I'm going to do this thing for you for free, then you best be referring me to your peers, basically. And I'm also much better now at understanding the value of the service that I'm providing and standing strong behind it. So I have very firm pricing, so I'm not quoting on the fly. I have a very firm price list, and if I'm going to discount, I quote the firm price, and then I say, but I will do it for you. You know, like someone, I charge by the word for structural editing, and the other day, someone came to me and it was a 46,000 word manuscript, and I said, look, I'll do it for you. This is how much 46,000 words cost, but I'll do it for the cost of 40,000 words because I like working with you and because you've done other stuff with me, and I just want to acknowledge that. So I kind of quote the full price up front but show them quite clearly where they get the discount, whereas back in my graphic design days.
That's clever.
Yeah, back then I was just like, I just quoted on, like, you know, how I was feeling that day, who I was talking to. Like, it just was so random, the prices that I quoted. There was no, like, yeah. And I just had no idea. It just was literally on what I thought they could afford, what I was feeling like, whether, yeah, it was just dumb. So, yeah, I'm much better at that. And I also now, as opposed to then, I set much better boundaries around my time and my responsiveness because – as a fledgling graphic designer, I thought a great point of difference was to be super responsive to people.
And, like, respond to emails at midnight?
Like, literally. Like, you email me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I will email you back. You want something done in the next hour, I will do it for you. Like, that was my point of difference, and I was so proud of it until, like, I nearly died and went, you are such a dick. That is just the worst point of difference in the world. The best point of difference to just do a really good job is to make promises you know you can
in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, and then deliver on them, not to be the most responsive person on earth. So, yeah, that's different from then to now as well. So that's kind of just I just wanted to kind of give that summary because I thought it would be interesting to hear, for people to hear, like, kind of how I'm approaching this thing in real time now and what's different between my two experiences. But Carl, you've got some really good general tips around starting.
I think that was really helpful. I think that was really helpful, Kelly, going through you actually doing it now and also showing that even though you had a freelance career, you're changing from one freelance career to another freelance career, which, like, I know you have a business, but that's kind of freelance as well, sort of. Yeah.
Well, it's not. And actually, I just want to make a note on that. So, you know, so you start a freelance career and then, you know, you've got a graphic design business and it's just you, and then you take on an employee and then you take on another one. And then everybody says, you know, the way to run a business is that you must scale it. So, you know, the goal is you start a business and then you scale it so that you can step out of it and it just runs itself. And do you know what? That basically never happens. But what happens is especially if you're a creative person, you find yourself in a position where you're not a creative person anymore. You're a manager of people, of staff, of financials, of you're doing all this stuff, all this operational stuff, when really you just want to be creative. And when you're a freelancer, you do have to do those things as well, but on a much, much smaller scale. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying reverting back to doing something where it's just me, myself, and I do the work, I stand behind the work, I talk to the clients, it's all me, and I'm in control of all of it. And I guess I just want to say to people that don't be afraid to stay small, and don't listen to the people who say you must scale, or you must do this, or you must do that. You don't have to do anything. If you want to stay just yourself, that's a good business model, as long as you're not running yourself into the ground. So yes, that was just a little rant I wanted to throw in there.
I love that advice. That's excellent advice. There's a lot of business groups and gurus that do encourage people to make their businesses so that they can step away from it. And there was a whole trend a few years ago, whereas if you had a skill like, you know, you were a writer or you were a graphic designer, there was a big trend in pushing people into making these, you know, big companies where you didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I just think it's terrible advice to give to people to try and step out of their business. The whole point of having a business is running it.
Yeah.
Well, and it was just this really odd advice that just was going round and round, like, you should only be working 1 hour a day. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think that actually works, guys.
Yeah, it just works in such few businesses. And it's, you know, it's nice if you can do it. And some people have managed to do it. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm saying it's not the norm. Relatively few people make that happen. And if that is your, you know, if that's the reason you're growing and adding staff and adding employees and outsourcing, you know, I totally believe in outsourcing, but outsource with intent rather than outsourcing because you feel like this is what everyone says I should do. So, yes. But anyway, Carls, you have some good tips about kind of kicking off a freelance career.
So my first tip is to do the work first. No one's going to hire you if you can't show them what you've done. The single best thing I've ever done for my freelance writing career is start my blog Smaggle. And the second best thing I ever did was continue doing Smaggle.
Yeah.
Because I've been writing 3 to 5 times a week on Smaggle for 10 years. That's a very, very long time. Actually, it's 11 now. I think it was 11 this year. And the thing is that looks very, very good to people who want to hire me to write for them, because they know that I show up. They know that I don't give up. They know that I can hold the attention of an audience for a long period of time. They know that I can grow and stay relevant and stay consistent and in the game. So I really think that that's so important. Start a blog or a YouTube channel and contribute to it regularly. That's the big key factor. It's easy to start it, but you need to contribute to it regularly. That doesn't mean you have to do it every day. Just, I think once a week is fine now, just so long as people, you can show people a portfolio of work that you contribute to regularly.
Yeah, I think it's key. Yeah, I think you need to be able to show your work. You can't just, yeah, that's going to seal the deal for you. So rather than saying, I could do this, it's like, look, I have done this. And that's just it's a conversion tool, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've also kept really good records of all of the people that I've freelanced for. I've written for realestate.com.au for years. And whenever people contact me about writing for similar websites, I've got a full body of work that I can show them on Real Estate. So I can show people that I have worked for other people and that I can listen to a boss and that I can follow instructions. It's all about showing potential clients what it is that you can do for them. They don't want to mess around. Make it really, really easy for them. Don't make it complicated. Have a website that has all of the information that they need, how much you charge, your portfolio of work, things that they can click on. Make sure that everything's clickable. They don't want to do work. They actually don't want you to come and talk to them. they want to look at a website and they want to click through 4 different things and go, yeah. And then they want to hire you. They don't want to have 40 different conversations with you via email. Make it so, so easy for people to hire you by doing the work first. The second thing that's really important is to make friends with people who are already doing what you want to do. This one can be a little bit difficult just because people who already are doing what you want to do are pretty good at sniffing out when people want something from them. You need to be pretty genuine. It never works well if you just cold call people. I get emails constantly from people saying, "Hi, I love what you do on Smaggle. Can I guest post for you?" And they haven't even read my website. So there are people like that that I just get rid of because they're just, you know, trying to get their stuff on my website because they're like content marketing scam people. I have had a few people who have asked me to mentor them. I would never take on a mentor. I would never take on a mentoree without meeting them first and knowing what it is that they want from me. There's a lot of people that have contacted me who want to take me out for coffee and pick my brains. And you have to really pitch why they would want to mentor you. So a lot of, I'm sounding like a real asshole right now, but I actually haven't had anyone, I haven't had anyone of quality ask me to mentor them before. It's usually like a one liner and they basically just want me to do all the work for them. I would be happy to mentor someone properly who actually gives a shit about having a writing career and, you know, wants someone to bounce ideas off or, you know, future projects and that kind of stuff. Basically what I get coming to me is people who are like, "Oh, you're a blogger. How do I be a blogger?"
Yeah.
And that's not the way to go about it.
Now, I remember when I first started blogging, there was a blogger here in Perth and so I had been following her online and I had been chatting with her like on Twitter back in the days of Twitter and Facebook, and you know, and I reached out to her one day and I said, "Look, I would love to sit with you for an hour and because I want to ask you about this specific thing." I actually can't even remember what it was, but I do know it was something very specific. But key thing is, I said, "I am more than willing to pay for that hour of your time." And she of course went, "No, you don't have to pay me for an hour of your time. Of course I'll sit down with you." And I think the key things there were, one, I was very, very specific about what I wanted to talk to her and get her advice about. And two, I showed, like, I totally value your time and understand it's worth money. And I think if you take that approach in a very genuine fashion and do be prepared to pay money if they will take it, I think that is a fast way to get the kind of mentoring that you need to take that step forward. Like, I have paid lots of money to talk to people for an hour over the years and I've never regretted 1 cent that I've paid. So, and it's just a way of fast tracking things. If you're looking to fast track things, and you can, by talking to people who are more ahead in the journey than you are, be willing to put some cash on it. You know, this is going to help your career. You know, and Carly's like, "Spend money? Do not spend money talking to people."
No, never.
Differ in that regard, but yeah, I've never regretted it. And it's, and like I said, I just think it's a good way to show people that you do value their time. And if you combine it with being very, very specific about what you want to talk about, there's nothing worse than an open-ended email about, like, "Can we sit and chat?" Like, I do not sit and chat. I need to know what it's about. I need to know what you know about me and what you want from me, because there's, you know, I've done that whole, you know, catch up for coffee thing and then end up being about something so random. And I'm like, I don't do this anymore.
Yeah. I've also had a few people email me specific questions, which I'm actually more than happy to answer. I much prefer emails than meeting people in person, but, and I'm more than happy to answer questions that people have, but they need to be specific.
Yes.
It's when people just come at you and they just go, "Oh, tell me all the things." I'm like, I don't know. Like, what's your plan? Just write down some notes before you contact me, for goodness sake. I'm very scary and horrible. Don't come near me. My third point is to make friends with people who need to hire people who do what you do. So if you are a writer and you want to write for people, you need to start making friends with people who own businesses, who need to have content that goes out every week. You need to involve yourself in groups on Facebook that have business people in them who need to hire people who have those skills. That's in the last few years, transitioning from, because I used to be a teacher, I haven't taught in about 4 years now, but I used to teach like 2 or 3 days a week just to pay the bills. And now I write 2 to 3 days a week just to pay the bills. So I've got other sources of income as well through Crochet Coach and through Smaggle, but I always like to have that writing work there just to, you know, because if something happens and, you know, I don't make income in those other ways, I need to have that backup. And, yeah, by involving myself in business groups and introducing myself and attending conferences and events and things, mm-hmm. anytime I need extra work, I've got four or five people that I can contact, and, I can just contact them whenever I like and just say, oh, hey, you know, I've got some availability. If you or anyone, you know, need someone for a day or two a week, let me know. And it has never failed me. So always make sure that you remember the people that you meet, take business cards, give business cards, and always keep a really good Rolodex of people that you know may need your services. And also, never ever burn bridges ever, yes. because you never know when that person will pop up again in the future. I had a client several years ago and I really enjoyed working for them. And this poor girl who is just like, she's amazing. I love her so much. She had to fire me and she really didn't want to do it. And she said, I think the company's making a really big mistake. And she said, but I have to let you go. And I was like really mad about it because I did a lot of really, really good work for them. And then she, and like, I could have kicked up a fuss and been a real dick about it, but I was really lovely to this girl. And I said, I understand what's going on. I've really enjoyed working with you. Thank you so much. And because I wasn't a complete dick about it, she contacted me 2 years later at her new work and hired me again for her under her new contract for a completely different company. So it's always important to make sure that you don't burn bridges and that you remain friends with people no matter what happens, because everyone's valuable and you'll do very well to remember that. My fourth point is to make it as easy as possible for people to hire you. So have examples of your work available, testimonies ready to go, have a price sheet made up. It's not that hard. You can get it done on Fiverr. Just give them all the information. They'll make it all pretty with your logo in it. Make sure that you have deliverables, estimates. If someone contacts you and says, I'd like to hire you for one day a week to write some blog posts for my company, and you don't have documents sitting there waiting to send to them, what are you even doing? That's the first thing that you need to sort out. You need to figure out what it is that you're selling, what you're offering, and have that stuff laid out ready to send to people. Otherwise, when you write back and go, what do you want me to do with the writing thing? Like, you need to know exactly what it is that you're selling. You need to have that confidence to sell that. My fifth point is to be patient, because it doesn't happen overnight. It took a very long time for me to get to the point where I get to write 2 to 3 days a week and I get to do Smaggle and Crochet Coach the rest of the time. It's the perfect balance for me and I love it. But I've been doing it for 10 years and I've only kind of got my balance right in the last maybe 2 to 3 years. And the balance always changes. Like, it's always about making sure that I have good clients and making sure that, you know, I have enough freedom to be able to do the things that I need to do, like Crochet Coach and Smaggle on top of my freelance writing as well. It's all about patience and it's about not giving up and persevering. And my dream was always to never have to leave my house. And now I have that. I have achieved that dream. That has been... but what I say, when I say I never have to leave my house, I can work from anywhere. I can pack up and go and be like, last year we lived in Bali for a month and we're planning on going to Italy later this year. Like, that was always my goal, was that I didn't have to be tied to a physical workplace. And it took me 10 years, but I got there, and I got there by not giving up.
And, you know, I think that's a really important point about know where you actually want to get with this. Cause like, so my dream, and I actually did achieve it for a while before things went a bit pear-shaped, but my dream is to be able to just work the 5-hour school day. So the hours that my kids are at school.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm, you know, so I actually managed to achieve it. Then things went a bit all over the place. And now I think I'm getting close to being back in that position again. So, you know, I reckon probably in the next 6 months I'll be there again. But, you know, I've just pivoted what I was doing, and it's taken me 2 years to get to where I am now, where I'm about to transition, hopefully, out of my design business and into just the book stuff. So yeah, as Carly said, it does take time. It does not happen quickly, but if you know where you're going and where you want to get to, it helps you get there faster and more intentionally as well. So yeah.
And also, just one more point before we move on to the next bit. With that, I just said that it took me a long time to get to where I am. I'm also not I'm very aware of the fact that I'm not secure in where I am. You're never secure when you're a freelancer. So I, even though I have clients that I love and everything's chugging away at the moment, in 3 months' time, that could change. So I'm still constantly working in the background, making sure I'm keeping my connections with people. I'm scouting out other opportunities. I'm making sure you can't ever relax when you're a freelancer. So don't think it's easy because it's not.
Yeah, no, it ain't no passive income, but there is no such thing as passive income anyway.
I agree.
Cool. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the topic of the day and on to the last segments of the show, which I really like. I like to kicked ass and kicked our ass. And just as a reminder, we introduce these two segments, one because we think it's important to celebrate things that have done well, and we also think it's nice to share that how imperfect our lives are, because sometimes people say things to me that indicate they think I've got it all going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
I get the same thing, and you're kind of like, do you listen carefully to the podcast?
And I just want to say to you, everybody's got something going on. Everyone does. So this is our opportunity to show some of the stuff that we've got happening. But Carl, what did you kick ass at this week?
Well, this week I got a lot of really, really good feedback from all areas of my professional life, which was just so lovely. Both of my clients, who I love so much, they're complete legends to work with. I'm going to give them a shout out because they're so rad. One of them is a lovely woman called Amelia from The Undercover Architect, and she runs courses and like advice workshops in architecture. So if you're building or renovating your own home, she has step-by-step instructions on how to help you build your house, and all of her work is excellent. There's also Alyssa, and she's from Flourish Online, and she does web design for small businesses, and she's a genius. And just, it's been such a pleasure because I do one day a week each for them, and it's just been a pleasure working for both of them. They're wonderful to work with, incredibly supportive, and they're just those amazing clients who just give me a list of shit to do at the beginning of the day and then they don't talk to me for the rest of the day. That's my dream client. I'm like, and then I deliver my work and they go ace, and we're like, rad, cool, see you next week. It's so amazing, like best clients ever. So they both gave me really wonderful feedback on my work this week, which is so lovely to hear, because when you are a freelancer, it can get very isolating, and I'm definitely not the type of person who needs to be told how awesome I am all the time, but it's so lovely that they took the time to give me that wonderful feedback, because you are alone all day. Like I don't really speak to anyone during the day. So hearing that was lovely. And I also had a new crochet. That's what I call my crochet coach students. So she's a newbie, and she's been extremely quiet, but she popped up in the Facebook group to say how much she loves my videos and she can't believe how much she's fallen in love with crochet. And I was just so stoked, because there are some people who are very vocal when they first start crocheting and some people who don't say anything. So it's just really nice having someone just quietly working away and then popping up. And she just shared all these photos of all this beautiful stuff she's been making. There's a pattern that I have for eco shopping bags that's been quite popular.
Yes. Yep.
She made like 10 of them, and just, it was amazing. It just made me so happy, because it's something I love so much, and it's brought so much peace and joy to my life, and being able to teach that to other people and have them fall in love with it as well is just so unbelievably rewarding. So that was amazing. And I got some really lovely messages about Straight and Curly and Smaggle, and it was just like, everyone loved me last week. And I was just like, this is great. Can this be every week? Like, it was so nice. And then what I did was I actually paid it forward. So I chose three people who I'd been looking at their work online and thinking how great they were doing. And I sent them emails saying, I'm really appreciating this that you're doing. This was really great, and I think you're awesome. It was actually just one thing I wanted to pass on to you guys. Compliments are amazing, and people don't give them out enough. So if you've been quietly thinking something wonderful about someone, can you please tell them today? It will absolutely make their day, and I guarantee it will make your day as well.
Oh, I thoroughly endorse that sentiment. And I have to say, it's so cool, because I feel like you're having a really nice year this year, and it makes me so happy. Because
I'm having the best year ever. Yeah. It's so good.
Well, it's good, because I feel like the last 2 years.
I'm sorry you're not, though.
No, well, that's all right. You know, it's the cycles of life and all that stuff. But yeah, I feel like you've had like a real roller coaster the last 2 years, and it just
far out. I have.
Nice to see you Yeah, it's just a bit more even for you professionally at the moment. So let enjoy it, enjoy it while you can.
Thank
Not you, but anyone who for whom life is smooth, just enjoy it.
Yeah, I really am. That's it. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that, the previous 2 years were not spectacular. Last year was average. The year before was awful. So I feel like I'm on a really good trajectory. But it's good to acknowledge that sometimes you have good years and sometimes you have bad years, and it all just comes around again.
Yeah, it does. So what did I kick ass at this week? At Swish, we had a massive website to finish for a massive client in Perth, and it was hugely stressful and hugely time pressured, but we made it happen, and we're just amazing. Like the whole team, like it was the whole team had to pitch in, and it was just it was just nice to deliver on that tight deadline for the client. So that was a good thing. What kicked your ass, Carl?
So 4 liters of milk leaked in our fridge yesterday.
Oh no.
4 liters because those big massive bottles that you, because I've been making kefir for Ben, so we've been buying bigger bottles of milk, and I mustn't have screwed the lid back on properly and put it sideways in the fridge, and I opened it up and just this like milk tsunami came out. It went all over the floor, and then I was just like,
and you're just standing there looking at it going,
yeah, it was all over my feet. And then Ben came into the kitchen and he was like, what happened? And it was awful. It was, just one of those things where we had to clean. You know when you just have to clean out the entire fridge and there's no way you can shortcut it? I had to take everything out, rinse it all, put it all in the dishwasher. But thankfully, Ben and I have this thing where we just both chip in and just get that shit done. Like, he was emptying the dishwasher and putting things in there, and I'm like rinsing all of the condiments and stuff. But that wasn't fun. I did not enjoy that.
Oh God. Okay. So what's kicking my ass? Smoke is kicking my ass because this,
interesting.
Yes, it's a bit of a weird one, but this is a time of year in Western Australia or Perth or the Perth part of Western Australia where, CALM, which is the Department of Land Management. What does the C stand for? I cannot remember. Anyway.
No, I don't know.
They do a lot of controlled burn-offs in the bush, which is officially to lower the fuel load, which all that means is they remove a lot of the grassy undergrowth so that when summer comes around again, and we have bushfires, which we tend to do, those bushfires are less impactful because they have less stuff to burn. Anyway. If the wind is wrong when they're doing these burn-offs, they can, like, the smoke kind of comes in over Perth overnight and then it just settles over the whole city until kind of mid-morning when the wind comes to blow it away. And it just means, like, I can't exercise outside when it's that level of smoke because of asthma and allergies. So,
oh, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, so basically I can't go outside in the morning at the moment and I'm not able to exercise. So smoke is kicking my ass at the moment. And, I'm, you know, it's nice. I feel like all my kicking my asses have been really whingy the last few weeks. I'm happy to have
that. Yeah, mine have too. I'm like, the traffic, the milk that leaked in my fridge.
I'm happy to have a less whingy one. So, yes. Okay.
So that just about wraps it up for this episode. Don't forget that we set up a Patreon page, which is live and kicking. We've got 2 goals for our Patreon page. The first of which is to reach $500 per month of pledges, and we're halfway to our goal. So thanks to everyone who's pledged so far. If you love listening to the show and you feel like you get a lot out of it, if you could swing a couple of dollars at us per month just to support the show, we would greatly appreciate it. It is, you can find it at Patreon. My God, my brain and my mouth are not communicating today. Patreon.com/straightandcurly.
Yes. And don't forget, if you want to chat more about this episode, you just need to jump into the Facebook group discussion for a week. Just search Straight and Curly on Facebook. Come on in and tell us if you are contemplating starting a freelance career in something, or if you have started one, and if you're looking for tips or if you have great tips to share, let's get a good conversation going in the group. See you in there. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.